5/8 of their daughter's missing brain was mysteriously recreated. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. And my guests, Gary and Marie Hill, had a daughter, fourth pregnancy, and the sonogram said 5/8 of their daughter's brain was missing. What an awful, awful report. But let's kind of go back. Why, Marie, why did you even have the sonogram? It was your second one with your daughter. How come?
Well, we were having to move back from Alberta, Canada, to Ontario. And because of the move and because I had been small for dates up until that point, the obstetrician felt that the best thing to do would be to have the ultrasound done and just to make sure that everything was all right.
Now, Gary, you're a medical doctor. What kind?
I'm an emergency physician.
Okay. And let's go back to that second sonogram. You're thinking, did you have any trepidation something would be wrong? I mean, after all, it's the fourth pregnancy. I mean, you're a pro.
Well, I hadn't actually had any ultrasounds until my fourth pregnancy. I'd had a previous ultrasound done with this pregnancy at about 4 months or so. And as far as I knew, everything mm-hmm. looked fine. Actually, when I went to have this one at 8 months done, I was a little bit nervous, I would have to say. And I think I had a little bit of trepidation in my heart about it, you know, when I look back on it now.
What was your first clue that there might be a problem?
Okay, I think the first clue would have been when the ultrasound technician began to, cry actually during the ultrasound. And her whole demeanor, which was very, you know, jovial and light at the beginning, had changed to be very serious. And she asked me questions like, is the baby actually moving? Do you feel any fetal movement? She was asking me questions like, why exactly did your obstetrician send you to have this ultrasound? And the ultrasound was taking a lot of time to do. And she was taking a lot of pictures, it seemed, and taking pictures of the spine and of the head. And when I asked her about that, she said that they just wanted to make sure that everything was okay.
Well, did you realize everything was not okay?
Well, when she started to cry, I realized that something was wrong. And then when she said they're going to have to take extra pictures on another machine, I knew that something was wrong.
Did you ask her what was wrong?
I asked her, you know, if there was something that was wrong, but she didn't say anything. She just said that the radiologist himself was going to take me to another machine and he was going to take pictures.
Did he tell you anything was wrong?
Yes, when they took me to the other machine, he didn't actually tell me what was wrong, but he began to take extra pictures of the head. And it seemed also the spine area. And he was conferring back and forth with her. She had stepped into the room as well. And he started pointing to different things on the monitor. And they were sort of conversing back and forth. And I just broke down. I was in just completely a basket case at that point. And the ultrasound technician tried to calm me down. And he said to me, I asked him what was wrong. And he said to me, your baby has eyes, a mouth, and a nose. And I guess in my mind, he sensed what I was thinking. I was thinking, what doesn't my baby have? What's wrong with my baby? And he said, I'll move the monitor over so that you can see and I can explain it to you. But at that point, I was too upset. And I said, no, I don't want to see it. I said, I just want to go home. And he said that the obstetrician would call me and let me know what exactly was going on.
So you went home, and Gary, you were not there. How did she break it to you that there was a problem?
Well, she just came in the door, and she seemed pretty upset, and she said to me, Gary, she said, there's something terrible wrong with the baby. And I said to her, well, you know, if there really was anything that wrong, the obstetrician would have phoned me up and told me. And she said, Gary, you weren't there. She said, there's something really terrible wrong with the baby. So I said, okay, well, I'll phone him and find out what's going on. So I phoned the obstetrician, and he said, there's nothing that I know about, but I'll phone up the radiologist and find out. So anyways, he phoned me back, and he said, Gary, there is a problem. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, there's something about a cyst. And I said, well, can you tell me about it? And he said, you know, I really don't want to discuss this over the phone. I would rather discuss it with you in person tomorrow at noon. So I said, well, Marie's too upset to come, but I'll come and talk to you about it.
You're kind of cool, though, because I can tell you, if it had been my daughter, I would say, no, I don't want to wait till tomorrow. You tell me right now. How come? How come you didn't?
Why didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was reasonable for him to break it to me face to face, the sort of thing I do with other people.
Okay, so you go the next day, you're in front of him, what does he say?
Well, you know, he just sat me down and handed me the ultrasound report, and he said to me, Gary, he said, I'm sorry. He said, your baby's had an intrauterine stroke. He said, the entire left hemisphere of the brain's been destroyed and replaced by a large cyst. He said, well, there's one large cyst, when there's one major malformation like this cyst, there's likely to be multiple major malformations in the baby. He said, you'd never have a normal delivery with a baby like this. The baby'd have to be delivered weeks early by cesarean section and be in the intensive care unit on a ventilator for weeks.
So what was his suggestion?
He said, if you want to get an abortion, we don't do them here at this Catholic facility, but I can refer you to somebody who will do it. And we're talking at 8 months of gestation.
So, yes, but you're talking about a baby that would either be dead or a vegetative type state.
That would be his prognosis. You know,
what was yours? You're a doctor.
Well, at first I thought, you know, he can't be talking to me. He's got to be talking to somebody behind me somewhere, you know, like it just didn't make any sense because I just knew God wouldn't let something like that happen to me. But what I did was I looked at the ultrasound. I said, it's got to be this little tiny cyst. You know, it's nothing to worry about. And I looked, and there was a 5-centimeter cyst since I have an 8-centimeter head. And they said, you know, it's got all these septations in it. We've seen stuff floating around inside of it. This is a cyst. And the prognosis from a medical point of view was, you know, she's going to be mentally retarded. She's going to have a seizure disorder. Half her body's going to be small compared to the other side, and it's not going to move.
What would you do if you got a report like that? Well, we're going to find out when we come back. Don't go away. Hello, YouTube. Mishpucha. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Dr. Gary and Marie Hill. They just got the news, as we found out in the last segment, that inside of Marie was a baby, daughter, from the sonogram, conclusive, 5/8 of the brain, missing. Best prognosis is dead at birth, a vegetative state, her body not functioning properly, recommendation abortion. Gary and Marie said, no, we're going to trust God. And what did you do about it, Gary?
Well, when he gave me the information, you know, I said to him, we're Christians, we just don't believe in abortion. And he said, well, I'm a Catholic, I don't believe in abortion either. And he said, what I'm going to do is refer you to an obstetrical neurologist who can give you more information. And I said, what's an obstetrical neurologist going to do for us? They can't replace her brain. And, you know, he said, well, that's true. He said, you're just going to have to depend on God to hold your hand and sort of get you through this terrible, rough time in your life. And, you know, I just looked at him and I said, listen, I said, my God's never let me down. He's not about to start now. I said, I don't know how he's going to get me out of this, but he is. And then he said to me, well, you know, I too believe that God can heal people, but what if he doesn't heal your daughter? And I just looked at him and didn't say anything. And he didn't say anything either. And then he said, well, you know, it's been nice talking to you. And I just walked out and went home to tell Marie what was going on.
So Marie, you find out, did you tell her the whole truth?
You know, I walked in through the door and she was waiting there for me, and it was the worst moment of my life, you know. I just looked at her and she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Marie, I said, I can't tell you what it is, because you won't want to know." I said, "But it's bad." I mean, it couldn't have been any worse than it was. You know, and I just walked up the stairs to my bedroom to be alone, because I...
Marie, what was going on inside of you at that moment?
Well, I think a combination of shock, dread, fear, panic, wanting to just run out of this whole situation as fast as I could and not knowing what to do. It was just all kind of fear just rose up within me. And when I heard him go up the stairs and I could hear him crying, really, crying out to God. And that was for me probably the worst moment of the whole thing, because I knew that it was really serious.
Well, Gary, you decided to really declare war, if you will. What did you do? What steps did you take for your baby's life? You're fighting for her life.
I was fighting for her life, and you know, the first thing I did was I just got a hold of myself, because I just wanted to break down and cry and tell everybody what an awful, terrible thing had happened to me. And I grabbed myself by the ear and I said, "Listen, Buster." I said, you know what you're supposed to do. There's a God, and he's going to help you, and you have to seek him, and that's it. Your baby's life depends on you doing that. So I just started to look up to heaven. I said, "God," I said, "you're my refuge, and you're my fortress. You're my strong tower. You're my ever-present help in time of need." I said, "God, this is a time of need."
Faith is easy when you're just teaching it. But when it's your own daughter, where did you get this faith? The average person doesn't have faith like that, Gary. Where did you get this from?
Well, I got it from the Bible. I got it from the scriptures. What I did at that point was I said I got to spend 100% of my time seeking God.
But you have a job. You're working as an MD.
I quit my job. Just phoned them up and said, "That's it. I can't do anymore. Goodbye."
Had you actually, with your own eyes, seen physical healings before that were supernatural?
My brother-in-law was healed.
Tell me about that.
Well, my brother-in-law was about 25 years old, and he had a mass in his neck that he showed me. And I was worried about it because it was firm and it could have been a tumor. So I referred him to his family doctor, who sent him to a specialist at a tertiary referral center in Canada called Toronto General Hospital. It's one of the best hospitals in the world. And he went there and saw the ENT specialist, who removed this tumor and told him it was Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a form of cancer, and told him he had to start chemotherapy immediately. And he just told him, he said, "I don't want to start chemotherapy." He said, "I want to go and seek God and get healed." And they offered him a psychiatrist to help him with this problem that he had. Anyways, what happened was, he did seek God, and the way he sought God taught us what to do. Mm-hmm. And within a couple of weeks, they said, "No, there's no cancer, so you're completely healthy," and that was it.
He had, in other words, how did the doctors account for it?
They couldn't account for it, because they told him that there's absolutely nothing else that this could possibly be. We have to start the chemotherapy now. And then afterwards, they said, "Something else, must be some kind of viral infection, but it is not cancer."
Well, my mom actually phoned the doctor who was in charge of his case and asked him on the telephone. She got a hold of him and said, "How do you explain what happened to my son? You know, you want to start the chemo right away, and now he's perfectly well." And they said, "If you want to believe in supernatural intervention, that's what this is."
For a doctor to say it, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Now, you said you followed what your brother-in-law did. What did you do in reference to the miracle you needed?
Well, what I did was I looked in the Bible for scriptures that promised me a perfect, healthy child. And I made a list of those scriptures, and then I started to say them out loud. And the other thing I did was I read through the New Testament 3 times in 6 weeks. And I also started to praise and worship God for 3 hours a day, every day. And I started to read books on healing and books on faith. And I started to listen to audio tapes on healing and faith. And I started to watch videotapes on healing and faith. So people who understood healing and faith were teaching me what to do.
Now, Marie, you had seen your brother healed. You
yes.
knew that God healed. You mm-hmm. knew what your husband knew. But still, you're the one carrying the baby.
Right.
What was going on inside of you?
Well, I think the worst part for me was the fear. The fear of the delivery, the fear of after the delivery, just the whole thing. The fact, too, I didn't really feel her moving that much. That really bothered me a lot.
I'm sure.
And all that was, you know, just bombarding my mind. But also, I knew what God could do, too. I'd seen what he did with my brother, and I knew that he could take care of the situation, too, and he could make Carolyn whole and well. We didn't know she was a girl at that point, but I knew in my heart that God could do it. In my head, I just had all these thoughts going through that were very negative and very full of doubt, but in my heart, I knew that God could do it. But I knew that we had to get a hold of God. I knew that we had to seek him with all of our heart for this situation to get restored and turned around.
Tell you what, we're going to come back in just a moment with Dr. Gary and Marie Hill and find out that God performs miracles. And since God says, I change not, and I'm not a respecter of persons, what I'll do for one, I'll do for all. Get ready. There's a miracle coming your way. Be right back. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I was talking to Dr. Gary and Marie Hill. 5/8 of their daughter's brain missing, had a sonogram. She's inside. They're fighting doubt. They're fighting unbelief. Is their daughter going to be healed, or will she be dead on arrival or a vegetable? But before we go back to them, I'd like to go to Janie in the control room. Janie, who's up next week?
Sid, you'll be interviewing a woman who had the most incredible miracle. She was born with cerebral palsy. She was a quadriplegic. When she spoke, no one could understand her. And by the age of 18, she had so many seizures, 18 doctors declared her to be brain dead. But during that time, when they said that she was brain dead, she had a vision of a healing. She didn't realize that she was going to be the one to be healed. But she was, and it was done in the most miraculous way. And then after that, God gave her a supernatural mother.
Well, I'll tell you, that sounds wonderful. I can't wait till next week. But, and thank you, Janie, but Dr. Hill, I've got to know, what were you doing? What were the steps you were taking, so to speak?
Well, what I did, I told you I collected scriptures that promised me a perfect baby. And what I did was I just sat there and I said them out loud. 3 times a day, what I'd do is go through 3 pages of scriptures, and I'd say a scripture, and then I'd personalize it for my baby.
Can you give me an example?
Well, one of the scriptures, 1 Peter 2:24, and I'd just say, with the stripes that wounded Jesus, my baby was healed and made whole. That's how I would personalize it.
Were there points, though, where your faith was wavering? Come on now, between you and me.
Well, there were, but, you know, especially at the beginning. The thing is, as I did this, as I would say the scriptures over and over, they produced more faith within me. And it was easier for me to remember.
And you told me that you began worshiping God. How important was worship?
Worship was very important. It would lift all of the anxiety and the fear and the worry at the time that I was worshiping God.
Marie, were you saying these scriptures out loud?
Yes, we did at the beginning, he did them 3 times a day, but because we were trying to pack a house too and we had 3 other children, I was saying them once a day. I would go through all the same scriptures that he was going through, and I was also worshiping God as well.
Now, one day in the midst of this worship, something happened to you that never happened before. Explain that.
Well, I was just worshiping God alone in my bedroom, and I fell down. Not just falling down, I was thrown down onto the floor. And I felt like something was crushing me. And the room filled up with a cloud. Okay, people may not believe me, but that's what happened.
I've got to ask you a question. You are a doctor. Were you drinking? Were you taking drugs?
No, I wasn't drinking. I wasn't taking any drugs.
Did you ever have a drinking or drug problem?
Never.
Never. Okay. So you're telling me something knocked you to the ground.
Yes.
What were you doing at that moment?
I was just worshiping God.
And something knocked you to the ground. There's a cloud came in to the room?
It was such a thick cloud that I couldn't see the chandelier hanging on the roof above my head.
And what was going on inside your body? From a medical viewpoint, what was going on, doctor?
Well, you know, I was so much pressure, I thought, I got to get out of here. I just can't stand this, you know. I started crawling toward the door. And then I thought, you know, this is God. I said, I got to stay here, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, it just sort of slowly lifted over the next half hour or so. I was able to get up and I could leave. And
were you able to walk normal?
Afterwards, yes.
But, okay.
But what happened the next night was I was worshiping God again. And I started to feel the same way I had the night before. And I suddenly remembered a dream that I'd had before any of this stuff had started. I'd had this sort of strange dream, I thought it was, where this man had brought his son to me, who was a schizophrenic, who'd had a brain tumor and had a surgery on his head. And he brought him to me, and he said, he left him with me. And I said to the son, I said, I'm going to lay my right hand on you. And when I do, power from God's going to flow into you and completely heal you. And what I did in the dream, he was completely healed. So anyways, at this moment, when I was feeling that way, I suddenly made a connection. I said, wait a minute. This dream applies to our baby because it has to do with the head. It was a problem with the head in that baby, and it's a problem with the head in my baby. So I thought, this is God telling me what to do. So what I did was I went to get Marie so that I could lay hands on her at that moment because I knew that's what I had to do. And she actually started coming down the stairs at that exact moment. At the same time, 2,000 miles away, my sister-in-law woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning and started to pray for us. It's the only time she'd ever done it. So anyways, Marie came down. I said to her, I'm going to lay my right hand on you. When I do, power from God's going to flow into you and completely heal our baby.
You knew that?
I knew it.
So?
So when I did it, she just collapsed on the floor.
She's pregnant. You're a doctor. You can't let her fall down on the floor.
I couldn't stop it.
Why? You're a sensible woman. You don't fall down when you're pregnant.
Well, there was such a power that came out from him when he prayed, when he laid his hand on me. He actually laid his hand on my belly, and I knew that God was doing something. I knew when I saw him that God was going to do something. And when he laid his hand on me, I could feel such peace and such love that I'd never felt before. And I remember saying to God when he did that, I said, God, I just want whatever you have for my whole life. I'm receiving it now. I kind of surrendered my whole life to him.
You know, we felt God at that moment.
It was really holy moment.
Absolute purity.
It was a holy moment.
Absolute purity. I said, God, I said, you're so pure. How could you have anything to do with me?
The baby is born, little Carolyn. What did the tests show?
She got examined by the obstetrician. He said she was perfectly normal.
How old is she today?
She's 8 years old now.
How normal is she?
She plays on a soccer team. She
you were
swims.
Bragging about her report card.
She had a 97% average in school.
Just think, you almost. No, you didn't even almost. No, there wasn't even an almost. There really wasn't even an almost. They were going to trust God. Can you picture this little girl, Carolyn, as baby, fourth child, and she wasn't supposed to be, and she's normal, and she's happy, and the birthdays, and 1 year, and this 2 years, and three, and four, and five. You picture the joy that these parents had, and they almost lost it. They almost lost this baby. But God says all things are possible to those who believe. All is very inclusive. But you must believe based on having your sins forgiven because of repenting from your sins and the blood of Jesus washing them away, being restored to Father God. It's up to you. What more do you need? God is loving you right now. He's loving you right now. And I believe that many of you are going to be healed now in Jesus' name. Put your hand right there on your chest. Be healed in Jesus' name. My back was just healed in the neck in Jesus' name. You're whole. You're whole.